Well, good morning. This is the Lou Rockwell Show, and it's great to have as our guest this morning, Mr. John Whitehead. John is a constitutional lawyer. He's the founder and the president of the Rutherford Institute. He's the author of 24 books. He's been a fighter for freedom for a very long time, and I must say a very effective fighter. But John, I think your most recent book is your most important book, Battlefield America, The War on the American People. What is going on? I mean, I guess because of my ideological perspective, I think there have been many bad things done in this country for a long time, usually in connection with war in terms of suppressing civil liberties and abolishing Americans' freedom, whether we look at the Civil War or World War I, World War II, the New Deal, Cold War, and so forth. But things really seem to have, maybe it's just because I'm living at this time, but it seems to me like the speed with which the police state and related institutions are taking over this country since 9/11 is astounding. So why don't you tell us about what the heck is going on, whether you think there's any chance to do anything about it?
The reason I keep writing, you know, I could go away, retire, take a vacation occasionally, which would be great, is the things you're talking about, what I'm seeing. You'll agree with me on this. I think what we're seeing now is the face, I call it the face of the beast. The people in control right now, whoever they are nervous about what's going on in the country in terms of the American people. I think the gun owners obviously freak them out, or you wouldn't have National Guard units doing exercises at places like Ohio, and the enemy is gun owners. The Jade Helm exercises, all the military exercises since Rex 84 in the 1980s, we're seeing. There is a concern. You have the Department of Homeland Security purchasing 1.6 million hollow point bullets, which violate international law, explode on contact. Their agents have them. Social Security Administration orders hollow point bullets for their agents. All the federal agencies now have SWAT teams. You have 800,000 SWAT team raids occurring across the country on an annual basis now, up from 3,000 in the 1980s. 80% of those are from your warrant service, where a policeman used to show up at your door, knock on the door, and make sure you're the occupant before they enter. So there are a lot of things going on. And, you know, as Bob Dylan says in one of his songs, it doesn't take a weatherman to know which way the wind blows. You've got the National Security Agency downloading, they say, approximately 2 billion of our emails a day, text messages, hacking into 160,000 Facebook pages to see what we're doing. So there definitely things have changed radically. I'd say, and you're right, 9/11, I'd say in the last 20 years, some of the shootings we're seeing happening across the country, people getting shot in the back, people choked to death, their spines crushed and stuff, unarmed citizens. If you go back 25, 30 years ago, you didn't see much of that. Something has changed. I think that the entity that we're dealing with, we call the federal government especially, and it's morphed out now into the fatherland and working with local police stations now and police agencies, it's paranoid. I think they're concerned, whatever, they're protecting their interests, whatever they consider those to be. What we call the government, in my opinion, I just refer to it as a corporation. It makes money off of people. It seizes our assets forfeiture. It overtaxes us. I mean, all the fines people are undergoing. There's a guy in Texas, I think, just finished his service in jail, 17 days for overgrown grass. All the cases we handle through Rutherford Institute where people have a chicken in their backyard, they're arrested and fined. So the entity we call the government makes a lot of money off of us. And the way they view us has changed. People used to say they view us as cattle. Now I think they view us as metadata, basically. Things to be controlled, things to be watched. Police agencies with stingray devices in their cars, which are operate like fake cell phone towers. They drive by your home or by you standing on the street corner and download all the information on your cell phone. That's fed now into these real-time crime centers where they're watching everything you're doing in your cell phone, where you drive, who you talk to, who you text. So we live in the state of affairs, as I discussed in the book, that Orwell, Aldous Huxley, all the great science fiction writers, philosophers said it would be here. It was arriving. They saw it early on. We just didn't listen. So I think we're dealing with something that the people who wrote the Constitution could not have foreseen.
Horrible governments all throughout history. The pharaohs thought he owned everybody, even literally owned everybody. But that seems to be, you know, waged all kinds of terrible aggressive wars and beat people if they weren't paying sufficient taxes to the government.
We're seeing that today, yeah.
Of course, in those days, I think I always think every government looks back on this as a golden time because the government actually was God. I mean, the government doesn't like God. It's constantly in competition with God. It can't stand that people have loyalties above and beyond the nation state.
You're hit.
And so they, you know, they must look back on the Pharaoh as a great time. But they really are a despicable bunch, aren't they? I mean, I think people who tend to go into government, and this is not 100% true, but they tend to be people who want to exercise power. They want to rule others. They have St. Augustine called the libido dominandi, the lust to dominate, the lust to rule. And but they seem to have been unleashed, at least in our own country. And maybe this is an Americocentric view, and most peoples in most countries have had to put up with this for a much longer time than we have. But it affects the whole world as well, because, of course, the U.S. beast sees itself as the world government. It wants to be the world government. It's not the UN or the other things that people talk about. It's the U.S. that wants to be the world government, seeks to be the world government, believes it is the world government. And as the Jefferson and others talked about, when you have a government that feels it can do anything to foreign peoples, it, obviously then it feels it can do anything to the American people. And I think you're right that they do fear us. Whether they're right to fear us, I hope they're right to fear us.
Well, you know, why are they watching our Facebook posts? Why are they reading our emails? You know, that violates the Fourth Amendment. The Fourth Amendment's really clear. We're supposed to be secure in our homes, house, papers, effects, and it says it really clear. Those rights shall not be violated. It's a command from the people, you know, from James Madison, the people who put those first 10 amendments together. The Constitution, they've thrown out the window. The Constitution means nothing anymore. I mean, when you're seeing the cases we're seeing happening across the country, and then we see what happens in Baltimore and Ferguson, people are reacting to that. They're going to react. There's going to be little uprisings. But what I'll say again is they're ready and armed. Don't worry about that. I mean, why does Florida need 36 grenade launchers and 47 MRAPs for their local police, mine-resistant armored protection vehicles? Why does Texas have $25 million worth of military equipment? The smallest police departments in this country, some of them have enough armament to put down what I would call large-scale rebellion, especially with drones, by the way, that can pretty soon will be there on site, and the police are going to be using those things with lasers and tasers and all kinds of things. So we've moved into a new paradigm here, and I think that we do have time to do something, but waking people up stuff, when you have the average American, as I show in my book, watching 150 hours of television a month, they're saying now the average young person spends at least 8 hours a day on a cell phone, a laptop, or some other screen device. So the social psychologists that I quote in my book say, hey, if people are sitting and they're not doing, but also if you're sitting and watching all the time, it's similar to what I show in my book with Hitler. Hitler's realized you get people in groups marching or whatever, they tend to think less analytically. They move in groups and they do whatever the leader says. And with television and all the things you're seeing today, if you want to use the word brainwash people, I think most people, when I raise the issue, and this is journalists, by the way, do you realize there are 80,000 SWAT team raids occurring? And they look at me like I'm crazy. You don't see it on the mainstream news. And as I point out in my book, it's not what you see on the news, it's what you don't see on the news. They don't discuss these issues. So, and all of a sudden, you have something like riots, whatever, happen, and they're having a tough time defining why it's happened. That's because they haven't been covering it, they haven't been analyzing it, and the American people don't realize it.
Well, John, it's true, and they are worried about us. I think they have their right to be worried about us, because I think there is increasing concern. But you're right about, I mean, I think television is such a passive medium. I mean, it just sort of sets you up to have, as in one of the Batman movies, to have a green beam from the government, you know, go right into your forehead and scramble your brain.
Well, you know, you're not going to get the kind of interview we're doing here on mainstream TV. If it was analytical and thought-provoking, but having 10 people sitting there talking about what type of bananas they want to eat or Brad Pitt's pimples, you're not getting what people need. And that's what's the government up to today? Why are they doing all these things? It's not analyzed anymore. So your average American doesn't.
No, the media might as well just be the Department of Propaganda of the government at all levels. It's suppressing the truth.
Well, listen, when I see on CNN former employees from the Obama administration and the Clinton administration becoming commentators, I'm going, wait a second here. These were guys that did some pretty weird things and were propagandists. And now they're on mainstream news channels like CNN. It should raise a concern.
No, and I remember back during the Bush Gulf War, when it came out that the Pentagon had stationed PSYOPs people, psychological operations officers, in various CNN newsrooms with the permission of CNN to make sure that Americans were getting the right lies told to them about the glories of the Iraq war.
Yeah. Well, I show in my book, Carl Bernstein wrote a really good article. I think it was about 2009, 2010. I cite it in my book, but he said that the CIA actually works with New York Times, Time Magazine. Some of them act as basically reporters. So you have to be, again, I go, Madison said it perfectly, the guy who kind of was the architect of our Bill of Rights. He said we ought to mistrust all those in power. And that's the beginning of how you deal with government, in my opinion. As I often say, how do you know a politician's lying? His lips are moving. And that's the way I live my life. Is that really true? I mean, what are the statistics they're giving us or whatever? Because I don't, when I read other places, what they're saying to me isn't true. So mistrust, but also I'm telling people, get active locally. I'm using this word, take over your city council, start doing some nullification processes. Several states have nullified the using their local authorities and police in enforcing the National Defense Authorization Act, which allows the president to label someone an extremist and send the military to pick them up. Should we really be cooperating with stuff like that? That's tyranny, by the way. The president's a dictator, as we know. I mean, he has dictatorial powers. I mean, if he can sit in his office and say, over in Yemen, there's an al-Qaeda agent, we can bomb that, whatever, and then you're having women and children getting killed. I mean, that's the same thing you were talking about with the Pharaoh.
No, it's true. And we remember one of Lincoln's cabinet ministers boasting to a British journalist that I can ring that bell on my desk and have anybody in America arrested and jailed.
Yeah.
Just on my say-so.
Yeah.
And of course, that's now far more than just the cabinet ministers have that kind of power. It goes down to all the local police and the state police and all the Homeland Security and state Homeland Security agencies and, of course, all the secret agencies as well. I don't think we know how many federal and state and local intelligence agencies there are, that many of them claim the power to kill you if it's just not Obama and his drones. I mean, many of these people are a bunch of 007 James Bonds, at least in their own brains, who feel that, yeah, they can kill you if you're too much of a dissident. Yet, why do they worry about this? Why do they propagandize us so much? Why do they get all the media to lie to us? Because they're worried about losing our consent.
Right. And they're worried about their entity. They're protecting their entity, basically. Whatever. I call it the beast because it looks like a beast to me. It's very violent. But, you know, a guy like the 26-year-old Marine we helped a year and a half ago, who was pulled out of his home for Facebook post and put in a mental hospital, was charged with no crime. We filed a lawsuit and got him out in a week.
That was a great thing you did.
We're in the courts now. This is the amazing thing. This is what, again, this is the final straw, as I show in my book, when the courts fall. I mean, every policeman involved in that, from the Department of Homeland Security, the FBI, the local police, they've been dismissed from a lawsuit, according to the federal judge. They have qualified immunity, which the Constitution doesn't apply to them. Just here yesterday, we find out the social worker who was part of the ringleader and having the guy thrown in the mental institution, he's been given qualified immunity, too, for violating Fourth Amendment rights. So what they're saying now, the courts, is this qualified immunity doctrine, which applies to almost every cop, whether they shoot somebody or whatever, the Constitution no longer applies to government officials. And as I show in my book, in Nazi Germany, the courts were the last thing to fall. When they start agreeing, they become the enforcers for the state, and we're seeing that. Where we've gone too far down the road. I still think there's hope, but it's going to take people getting them off their butts and getting active and causing what Martin Luther King said, militant nonviolent resistance.
Well, John, the first thing people have to do is to learn what's going on, to understand how bad the problem is and understand what can be done about it. And I want to highly recommend your new book, Battlefield America, The War on the American People. This is a tremendous piece of work you've done. And I highly recommend that everybody listening to this podcast read this book. It's very important. It's inspiring. It's not just a downer, although there's plenty to be down about, but there's plenty to be inspired about as well. And all is not lost. And I think especially among young people, I see far more resistance, despite the fact that they've been subjected to so many years of government school and government propaganda. They're not willing to put up with it anymore. So I think there's much to be optimistic about if we all do our work, if we all try to emulate you, John Whitehead, in the kind of work you do, the books you write, the fight you fight, And thanks a million for all you do, and thanks for coming on the show today.
Thank you, sir. Keep sounding the alarm. You're doing a great job.
Thank you, John. Bye-bye. Well, thanks so much for listening to the Lou Rockwell Show today. Take a look at all the podcasts. There have been hundreds of them. There's a link on the LRC front page. Thank you.